Everyone is talking about the fourth industrial revolution. You hear about it at every business conference you go to these days. But what is the fourth industrial revolution? I love asking people who talk about that, what was the second? If we don't know what the first, second, and third were, then the fourth industrial revolution doesn't make as much sense as it should. So stand by. Here, I think, is the best explanation ever of what the fourth industrial revolution is. Of course, we have to start at the beginning. The first industrial revolution began in 1712 when an Englishman called Thomas Newcomen invented a steam-driven pump that was designed to get water out of the Welsh mines. What this allowed them to do was to dig deeper, to dig faster, to get more coal out of the mines, and that began the revolution. It started with steam and eventually, a century or so later, developed into the petrol and gas-driven engines that we know today. And big factories emerged, and it was all about getting more done, getting more widgets made per hour, getting more productivity. That was the first industrial revolution, and I think is well known to us. The second began in the late 1800s. It was begun in a number of different places, but I think we give the credit to Frederick Taylor and something called scientific management. At this stage, we had massive factories. In fact, some of the biggest factories in the United States and across Europe, filled with thousands of people and machines and belching out smoke all day, every day. And along came a few consultants who said, but hang on, we're not getting the best out of these factories. And the reason was not that the machines were not working well, it was that the people were not working well with the machines. And along came scientific management, which said simple things like, put more windows in your factory, natural light will help. Change the way that the work is organized so that people are specialized, so that people work in a better environment, and this will improve productivity. And it did. And probably the pinnacle of success of the second industrial revolution can be seen in Henry Ford's motor companies, especially on his Model T production line. That was that continuous production line. He completely changed the way that factories work. Instead of the people moving to the work that they were supposed to do, the work came to them as the car that you were building came on this moving production line. Instead of people generalizing and being good at three or four different things. You know, you might have had to make something for the car in the past, and so you would have something over here and something over here and something over here, and you'd put them all together and then build this little thing. That's generalization. Ford realized specialization was the way to go. And so as the car came past you, you screwed in one screw or you tightened one bolt. And you did it and you had 30 seconds to go, and then the car moved on and you did the next one, exactly the same thing. Turn the bolt 3.5 times, step back, move on, turn the bolt 3.5 times, etc. This was the second industrial revolution. By the time Ford had perfected this in the 1920s, he was producing one car every 32 seconds. Can you believe that? 100 years ago. Now, the next sentence or two is important, and I need you to remember it, because what the second industrial revolution was to the first, the fourth is going to be to the third. The second industrial revolution was not a revolution that brought new technologies, that brought new machines into the workplace. The second industrial revolution realized that the machines that we had invented in the first industrial revolution were not just able to make us do more things cheaper, better, faster. They actually allowed us to change the way we do things. They allowed us to change the world of work, to change the way that we lived and worked. And that was the revolution. That was the second industrial revolution. Now, the third industrial revolution began in the 1950s, but gathered steam in the 1960s. It is, of course, the computing, digital, microprocessing revolution that has brought the digital world to us. It began with the big computers, and then the mainframes, and then the desktops and laptops, and now our handheld devices. It gave us the internet, and it gave us 3G, 4G, LTE, 5G now. And it's given given us the Internet of Things and a variety of different technologies that create a digital world for us. Now, if that's the third industrial revolution, then what is the fourth? Now, when you ask that question at a conference, many people shout out, it's automation, it's robotics. And in fact, that is not true. Automation and robotics are actually still part of the third industrial revolution because they are just digital technologies. The fourth industrial revolution is what is going to happen and what is beginning to happen as we realize that these new digital tools are not just tools to help us do what we used to do, but do it cheaper, better, faster. These tools actually allow us to do new things, to do different things, to do things that we have never done before. And let me give you a real life example of this progression. So if you think of online maps, for example, the way that we find our way from place to place these days in our handheld devices with those maps that we've got available to us. If all you've done is taken the old paper-based maps and put them into your mobile phone, you really haven't done much more than the start of the third industrial revolution. In fact, I'd suggest there's no revolution there at all. You've just changed the location of a static paper-based map. When you begin to put instructions into that device, so turn left at the next stop sign, go straight for 400 meters and then take the off-ramp. When you begin to add instructions into that, you're starting to get into the power of the third industrial revolution. That's the power of digitization and automation and technology. The fourth industrial revolution is when we do things we haven't been able to do before, and that's Waze. The traffic app Waze, which has now been bought by Google and incorporated into their maps, doesn't just look at the directions you should take. It also looks at all the other cars around you. It looks at all of the traffic. It looks at the conditions. It knows whether an accident has taken place. It even incorporates the weather in some circumstances to tell you that maybe the way that you wanted to go to your destination yesterday is not the best way to go today because circumstances have changed. It's real time. It's dynamic. And more importantly, it creates a network of all the Waze users. This is what's going to happen to driverless cars in the future. They're not just going to be compulsory. They're not just going to be legal. They're going to actually be compulsory because we are going to want every car to be able to speak to every other car and to come up with a dynamic, in the moment, real-time traffic pattern. And that is the fourth industrial revolution. It's not new technologies. It's the application of digital technologies to our world that gives us the opportunity to change the way that we live and work. So when next you go to a conference, when your boss next talks about the fourth industrial revolution, the next time you get a memo from the senior executive team saying the fourth industrial revolution is important, you need to push back and ask them, what's the second? Because the second industrial revolution gives us a hint as to what we should do now. It isn't simply about doing what we've always been doing, but cheaper, better, faster. It isn't just about automating the things that we have been doing for the last 10 or 20 years as a business. It isn't just taking what we do as a business and putting it online. That's all the third industrial revolution. The fourth is about saying, is there another way to do these things? Is there another way to do this completely? Can we change the way that we are working? And that's why people are using the examples of Uber and Netflix and Airbnb, because these companies didn't invent new technologies. They didn't come up with new ways of doing something that we had been doing before. They changed the game entirely. A taxi company with no cars, a hotel company with no rooms of its own to sell. These were changes to the rules of the game. That's why those examples are important. But those examples are just the very beginning just the tip of the iceberg of what's about to happen in the 2020s with the coming of the fourth industrial revolution. So hopefully that makes sense to you, that gives you an explanation of what the fourth industrial revolution actually is, and now frees you up to begin to think in creative, exciting, disruptive, maybe even scary ways about how your business, your role in your business, how all of these things might need to dramatically change as the fourth industrial revolution arrives. Best of luck. It's going to be a wild ride.